Hey y'all, thanks so much for tuning in to Girl Talk at the Dan Gable Museum. On this week's episode, it is part three of our three-part series on the Gable Ladies. I am incredibly excited to share this episode with y'all. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. And without further ado, I will stop talking and let you guys listen. When you guys were in like class, when you were younger, and the teacher would introduce you and say your last name, did people realize that you were actually Dan Gable's daughters?
Like at the University of Iowa for them?
I'm talking more like elementary school age.
I think that because of the way that we are, like, and I was looking through your questions, and like you had another one in there about like dating and stuff, and I think it's the same thing for everything. It goes, it's like it was just so 100% our life that it was never a surprise to anybody, or that never happened. Like, we never dated anyone that was like, started dating us, and then they were like, oh, that's your dad. And because it was like they were a friend before, or they knew, and like, it was just our life. Like, and my dad wasn't like, he was at Hy-Vee, and he was at our games and our dance recitals. Like, he was never like this figure. You know, he was just like normal.
Part of the community.
Like, Brian and Mike had plenty of time to back away if they really didn't want to be a part of this.
Yeah. Everybody knew. I mean, Molly and Danny met at a wrestling meet. I mean, that's the first time
we got engaged at a wrestling meet. So we met at Big Tens.
No, you met in Iowa City at a
At Iowa City. It was Big Tens.
Oh, it was Big Tens.
It was at Carver that year. And his brother-in-law, now Brian Glenn, was wrestling for Illinois. And Annie knew Danny from
since
he was in fifth grade, because his older brother played baseball with her husband Mike at Butler, so and then he came to Iowa, and she said we needed to meet, and I was swimming at the time, and
at the wrestling meet, we were just like, this is my sister. Like, it wasn't like we were like, let's set them up.
He actually asked for tickets through them because he wanted to see his sister's boyfriend wrestle for Illinois. And then we were sitting next to each other at the meet and started talking. And then they saw
each other out that night.
Yeah.
Right?
And so we just hung out.
And then we never got rid of him.
No, we never got rid of him.
I remember meeting him when I was a freshman in high school. He came to our house over there.
Oh, funny.
I remember him.
He was there, but I wasn't, because I was swimming, and I remember, like, you guys had him over for dinner, I was gone. Like, I had never met him until then, and he'd been at my parents' for dinner.
He came to play football at Iowa, and so Mike and I were like,
he was on a recruiting visit, maybe.
He's even in pictures at their wedding.
I am the Best Buy if he needed a ride. You know, he actually caught the garter at my wedding.
I caught the bouquet.
He was in your wedding.
Oh, it was meant to be.
Weird. Yeah.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. But yeah, so then, but then we kind of started dating, like, officially. He went to Nationals too, and then whatever, 4 or 5 years later, we got engaged at Nationals. Same place too, it was in St. Louis. So it's kind of like too, like, our lives have still revolving around wrestling.
Full
so,
circle.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when you meet somebody that really wants to be a part of it, and, like, you know,
and
embraces
our kids.
Justin
would be the only one.
He was like kind of
the
outlier. He didn't know anything about my dad. Didn't know anything about wrestling, except he'd been to maybe a couple high school wrestling matches because his good friend wrestled at their high school, but, like, nothing. And we also lived in Dubuque, so he wasn't, like, totally exposed to the wrestling. My dad was already retired and everything, but it was kind of nice, like, when my dad had, like, a big event at the Marriott, when he fully retired, Justin went to that, and, like, his mom went to that, and I wanted his mom to come, because it's like, you need to, like, kind of come see what is going on here, like, just one last...
It was,
like,
a learning...
learning curve for you here, but, yeah.
I learned a lot.
But now, like, Justin, like, today, like, loves wrestling. Like, he follows, like, Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts, and he loves watching it at Nationals and follows all the wrestlers, and so it's definitely something that, like, even if...
I think Justin and probably Danny follow it more now
than Mike and Brian even followed.
They had their time.
Mike and Brian, we both went to high school with our husbands. And Mike, Mike was my really good friend since junior high, but he didn't come to his first Iowa wrestling meet until after we were even in high school. Like,
no.
He played basketball and he just wasn't a wrestling fan, but Brian grew up a wrestling fan. Grew up an Iowa wrestling fan. But
Mike knew who Dad was.
Oh yeah, He didn't grow up like as a wrestling person and like knew it. But now, I mean, Mike knows so much about wrestling and all the people and can, you know, if you're gonna be in this family, you better be ready to know. You know, it's like we revolve our spring breaks around our vacations, so many different things. And even now, my oldest is, when you're a junior or a senior, you can go to Italy with your junior or senior class. It's like every other year. So next year, he's supposed to go to Italy on spring break with his class, but he will have to miss nationals. And so we paid the insurance to get out in case he decides that because he's just like, I don't know. I mean, I've never missed. My kids have never missed, obviously, if I've never missed.
We all missed Minneapolis.
That did not count because it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I missed once, and that was for a work thing when I was getting my I was a graduate assistant, and I am like, it was the worst. Like, I mean, I had a great time on my trip. I was a graduate assistant in an outdoor program at the University of Iowa, and I went to Moab, Utah on a trip, and it was so fun. I mean, it was great. It was a great experience. But the whole time, I'm like, I wanting to check up on the, wrestling tournament, and we didn't have the greatest cell service, and, you know, whatever, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this the rest of my life. Like, I can't miss nationals every year, or,
Which nationals was that? I don't remember.
I don't even remember where it was, but
I remember Annie coming in.
I missed one day when I went on spring break freshman year of college. I missed
And I remember you saying, you're like, never again, never again.
So this is like put in perspective. It's really funny. At nationals when they do this, they have you stand up and then you sit down. How many people have been to 1, 2, 3 nationals? And then it gets to be elderly crowd. And then you look at the tables. And it's an 80-year-old man over there. And then it's Annie.
You've been coming since you were in diapers.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't go the very first year
mm-hmm. I was born. I didn't go to that one.
Yeah. I remember Molly coming as a big, you were born in December, and that NCAA's that I brought you to it.
But Danny,
didn't
my
you
son, bring
her to Carver?
My mom got out of the hospital, and with giving birth to me, it was a few days later because she had a C-section, but it was, the first wrestling event in Carver.
It was the first event.
Event at Carver, and she just got out of the hospital that day, and she's brought me to it.
I remember my doctor was sitting across Carver, and I had had cesarean. And I was not supposed to be
She's walking up the stairs of Carver.
I don't think the elevators were working at that time. And
they
I
didn't
remember him watching
yet.
Me.
Just kidding.
Danny, I was not going to go to NCAAs in St. Louis because I was really pregnant with Danny. He was, and I had this weird pregnancy thing going on. And so I was not going to go. And I was like, I can't miss this. So we put the car seat in the back. This is the first one. I had a note from my doctor, all my files, and we went to St. Louis.
We had a doctor on call there for her in case she went, because my roommate from college, her dad ran hospitals in St. Louis, and so he was able to recommend a good doctor, and she had somebody that she would go to if she went. And then Matt.
And then he was born. And then he was born a few days later. Totally was that close. And Betsy, she was only 10 days old when we went to Omaha, and we brought her.
Oh my God.
But then this girl, she went into labor on her way home from St. Louis and had to.
Her water broke halfway home from St. Louis.
Put me in labor.
She's
I actually might have been in labor throughout all of
NCAA
because I remember we would walk a mile or 2 miles to
the
wrestling?
It was like a mile from our hotel.
So I would, every day I would walk to the event center. But it was a mile there and then a mile back, and there was 2 sessions a day. So I would get at least 4 miles in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I don't know if you remember, I remember being with you though, and I'd be like, hold on a second.
I know.
Just stop. And I think I was probably in labor. But
I know.
Now looking back,
but she
it should have been a
really
sign.
Early too, so this is like a month and a half.
But yeah, on the way home, my water broke and I almost had the baby in
a Starbucks.
In a Starbucks.
And thank God she made it, because I think Kate was breached too.
Yeah, I had
so
an emergency C-section then.
And
so
she drove straight
oldest,
into
right?
town
yeah.
to the hospital and had an emergency C-section.
It's good times.
They had to get her over the Iowa border. That baby had to be born in Iowa.
Yeah. No, we were actually at where we were that Starbucks was. It was
on the interstate.
No, Belvedere. And it was like either we turn around and we go to Rockford, had the main hospital there, or
you were like, which
book
way
it to the Iowa border.
And I think Justin went like 100.
Yeah, and it was a 2-lane highway and through these small towns, and there was always cops there. And of course there was no cops there this time, which I was kind of like, we need a cop. We need a chauffeur. But yeah, that was on our way home from St. Louis, and yeah, it was.
That was wild.
It was pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Kate was born, and it was all good.
That's crazy. I love it though.
I think no. It was what was funny though is like the next day. I think I like announced that night, like Sunday night, that Kate was born, and then like everyone I saw at Nationals, they're
like, oh my God.
We're like, what?
Where did you have this baby at?
Like, I think Jenny Brand specifically, or Michelle Brands, was like, wait,
oh,
what?
My God.
You just had your baby? Or it was like Allison Schwab or something? I can't remember.
We just saw you.
Yeah. I'm like, I know, I'm shocked too.
And in Dubuque, like not in
yeah.
a roadside or in St. Louis.
Back
thank God you guys left really early that morning, because she wasn't feeling well. And she like got up and they left super early. And like that hour and a half was like,
yeah, because
key.
You guys went to Panera right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
For once, I was like not craving anything. I was feeling really sick. I'm like, I just got to get home.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw Panda Express and I almost stopped. But again, I'm like, and that is good footage.
Like, seriously, I love
keep that.
Yes.
Panda Express.
Panda Express.
When Dad was retiring, like, remember when I, like, took his lips and went, like,
at the press conference?
I will not retire. I kind of relate it to what Annie says about when she went to Kansas and, like, got, was, like, you're an addict and then you get, like, pulled from something, like, cold turkey. Like, kind of imagine being 97, I was 9 years old, so I was, like, super, like, immature, like don't, like, you know, I'm just like a little girl, and I just did not understand why my dad would almost like stop living his life, I guess. It was really hard for me to understand why he would step away from our life, pretty much. It was like very hard for me to comprehend that as a 9 year old. And like, I remember sitting in the press conference, and like my head was on my mom's lap, and I don't know if I was crying, but I was, like, really upset about it, and I still don't think I, like, really understood what he was doing. I, like, just
mm-hmm.
didn't, I was 9. I couldn't, like, figure it out, like, why he would be choosing to leave this life, because it's all I knew.
It was weird to think that he was only 40, how old?
7, I think.
God, when he retired.
Yeah. And
coaching.
And it
yeah.
took me,
yeah.
like,
coaching.
It actually, like, took, I feel like, I think from that moment on, my dad and I's relationship did not go very well. Like, through then, like, junior high and high school, he would, like, try to, like, coach me with, like, soccer and stuff like that. And I, like, didn't want anything to do with his advice. Like, completely turned my back to him. And I think it was, like, more in college when I moved away that I started to, like, grow up a little bit, you know, and like just appreciate his advice. And we definitely had a better relationship and now have a better relationship. But like, I feel like in high school and like junior high, like I didn't even want to talk to him. And I think it all stems back from that, because I was so young, being taken out of like this lifestyle of like this
routine. It's almost like you have a divorce in your family.
I felt like
mm-hmm.
I felt like you had kind of like a chip on your shoulder about Dad retiring, or like you felt like kind of like you got slighted or something when you were like in junior high and high school. It seemed like, because we had like a totally different lifestyle than she had.
Well, and then I think like I even tried to like,
I don't feel like I
kind of bring it back into my life by like, I wanted to wrestle then, like in junior high, but it just, that was, I'm 32 now, that was like almost 20 years ago, where girls wrestling was not really existent. And so that was kind of like, no, like, you're not doing that.
Well,
like,
we didn't want a wrestling boys.
Yeah. And there was no opportunity for me to even do that. And then I remember being a freshman in high school and possibly trying to wrestle another boy for the 103-pounder spot on the varsity team. And I didn't end up doing it, but, like, I ended up just being, like, a manager, and I would clean the mats after school because I felt like I needed that, like, connection to wrestling. So I would clean mats after school, or on my, during my eighth period or seventh period or whatever, instead of going home, I would go wash the City High wrestling mats. That sounds so ridiculous. And then like, even
but it doesn't, that doesn't make you feel
like, and then
the
like
team.
At home wrestling meets, I don't know if you ever went to those, but like I would be in charge of like taking the microphone for the national anthem. I would start the music for the wrestling team to come run out. And it's just like those little things like kind of made me feel back connected to the wrestling community. So yeah, definitely had a chip on my shoulder, I think. But like I said, it took me until I was like in college to realize that. And then it took my dad writing this book for him to realize, because I got interviewed by the co-author of that book. Like, we kind of came to terms after that book. Like, we made amends after that. So it was kind of interesting how that all played out in the end. So
without you guys even realizing it all those years, that was where it kind of
started. Like, I didn't really realize it. He didn't realize it. And then when I got interviewed, it kind of, like, came out.
Like,
and
this
then,
is why, and this is what happened.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's crazy.
What's that?
I feel like when he stopped, it was, like, good timing. I mean, I was a few years older. Like, we're 4.5 years different, so maybe that helped, being a little bit older. I was going into high school. Like,
you would have been going into
high, and then he announced it, and then I was going into...
Because it was my... Going into my freshman year of college was going into her freshman
year. And I was going into my freshman year of high school. But it was, like, good timing because... I was going into high school, and I felt like he was able to make himself available to go to, I was into swimming, Mackie was more into soccer, and he would come to a lot more of events for, like, swimming and stuff. I did dance, but then I gave that up to do more sports, like
track
and swimming, and I did some volleyball and stuff, too, but he was, I feel like, more present for that stuff. And I didn't have the resentment as much, but maybe it's because I was a little bit more older and could understand it a little bit better. I don't know. But I felt like it was good timing for him to be able to focus on, like, our stuff and stuff.
The family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2000, for the last meet to qualify for the prestigious Drake Relays, did you know that your friend, is it Eliza?
Yeah.
Eliza would be giving your family a play-by-play during your 800-meter race.
Yeah. You know she was doing
did
that.
Did you remember that we were, like, sitting by the pool, the wave pool at the Mandalorian, as that was called, or something? What
Mandalay
was it?
Bay.
Mandalay Bay.
We were in Las Vegas, and
we
she
were
wasn't
in Vegas.
There.
Yep, she stayed back.
Nashville. And we were in the book,
Nashville.
It says
that
you even had to, like,
it was
my 13th birthday,
together.
Too.
It wasn't going to be together for Easter either because...
And you had to ask your mom, like, the book says you had to, like, get permission from Kathy to stay with a friend.
Right,
yeah.
Did you stay with Eliza?
I stayed with her family, and it was so funny because, like, they did an Easter egg hunt, and then mom had sent eggs. So I, like,
there's
we always put money,
there, yeah.
coins in, like quarters or dimes or whatever in our Easter eggs because... and then her... parents do the same. And so I ended up getting like way more money than Eliza and her sister because they did some for me. And then mom, it was just funny. But yeah, so I had to get permission to stay with my friend. And I just really wanted to make the Drake Relays that year. And I was somebody that didn't really like to run going into high school. I'd gone out for like Southeast track and I didn't really like it. And then I went out for City High track and I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know what it was different about it, but I really enjoyed running and I got good enough that year that I was really close to making it to Drake Relays. And so I needed one more race to try to qualify. And so my friend Eliza, you know, I stayed with her and she'd been like my best friend since junior high too. So like we were just really close and our families were close and stuff. So I stayed with them and yeah, so I kind of knew she was going to give a play by play. But I mean,
how did that play by play go?
I mean, it wasn't
on the runner's side. What happened?
On the runner's side, I mean, I did everything I could to like prepare for that race. And I felt like my coaching staff was amazing at City High. I mean, we had, I felt like the coaching staff at that time were great. And like the girls that I was running with, some of them were some of my really close friends and they were really athletic and encouraging. And so I don't know, I just felt like the opportunity was like perfect. And so I stayed and I felt prepared and everything. I felt really motivated. And I remember before they left for the event, my dad sat down with me in my bedroom and read a passage from his favorite book that he has. And he's got like notes all written inside it. And it was The Heart of a Champion book. And he read me a passage from it, and I just remember, like, sitting there and, like, thinking about what it was that he was saying, and it was really motivating, and then they left, and I went with Eliza and everything, and then I don't remember a lot from that race. I just remember feeling good going into it, feeling prepared, feeling like I had everything aligned, and then, just getting around, and I just remember feeling like I can do this, and I was ahead, and I was doing great. And then I just remember going on that last stretch, and the last stretch is hard if you've ever run an 800 and in track, and even like a 400, that last stretch, it just feels like forever. And I just remember feeling like
were jello. I remember
yes,
you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if it was because I was so exhausted that like I just remember feeling like I couldn't pick my foot up anymore, you know, like
you
just couldn't
gave
go
it everything you had.
Yeah.
Cause you were winning too.
Yeah.
She was winning.
But wasn't like
she
Eliza
was her nemesis.
Mom, on your side though, you were like a lot, you could hear Eliza talking, giving the play by like she's in the, like what was she saying?
Oh gosh, I can't
remember. I don't know.
Exactly.
I just remember, she's in the front,
and then it was just like dead silent.
I couldn't move my legs anymore and falling. And
were you like conscious when you fell?
Yeah, I remember falling and
oh no.
Oh my gosh.
We won't put this on there.
You know, right? And just like, and I even remember my friend Kelsey running past me. I looked up and she's like looking down at me, you know.
Was she
and
in
like
the race?
She like
yes.
She tells me after the race because she finished the race. I mean, I literally was like a meter from the
she
end
was
of the
very
race,
close
end
to
of the
end.
Thing. And she's like, I saw you fall, and then I was like, do I stop? Do I help
yes,
you
Kelsey.
Up, or do I finish the race? I like couldn't figure out what to do. So afterwards, though, I just remember getting up, finishing it, and like just exhausted. Like I just,
yeah, but I think your dad was more proud of you because you
pushed yourself.
No,
I
right.
She
did something
she
that he has never been able to do.
Yeah.
You went to your limit,
and obviously we still talk about it.
Yeah.
How
many years
I mean,
later?
I feel like I just remember my legs couldn't like get up anymore, and I just fell because more because I couldn't move my legs anymore. And like, I think I fell from tripping on my spike because I could not move my legs anymore.
I mean, I'll be honest. I never looked at it as you were like a failure or anything. I looked at it as like, whoa.
Yeah. You did it. You
pushed yourself. But I'm like 1 meter.
Cause I mean, you 1 meter. I mean, come on.
And it wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't. Obviously. But it was traumatizing. I feel like I just read that chapter to my kids for like the first time. I mean, I like have a hard time reading that. Like I could hardly read it when I was at it, like trying to read it for my dad to take into the book. Cause it's disappointing, you know, but
yeah, you're
but
huge.
It wasn't meant to be, and I don't dwell on it. It's just hard
you
to read
it's
over
not
and over.
A disappointment.
Just, no, yeah. But
well,
but I read it, and I like couldn't even get through the freaking chapter when I was reading it to my kids. They're like, "Mom,
do you want to know what a disappointment is?"
Oh God,
Jesus!
Read this in the newspaper a couple years ago. I took a screenshot of it. It was something that about Barry Davis. I don't know why they interviewed Dad for this. Or they talked about Dad. Something must have been his birthday. I don't know, but they had something in the Gazette. And it says, Davis remembers the birth of Gable's daughter, Annie. Okay, so my dad had a girl.
Had a girl first,
you know, and it was like, oh, needed that boy, you know. And it's like, my mom was pregnant with me. I had no idea.
And you guys didn't find out the sex?
No.
Only for her.
Only for Mackie.
That's another story.
Okay.
That's another story, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, he's got to have this boy. You know, you got to have the boy. Gable left practice to go to the hospital, Davis said. All of a sudden, the door opens and he walks in hours later. Everybody stopped and looked at him. He shook his head like, no. We knew it was another girl, so we just kept wrestling. And that is Annie. That's why I have a complex.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You wouldn't have known what to do with boys, though.
No. Oh, it's such a blessing.
Yeah.
Totally a blessing.
Total blessing.
Yeah.
I mean, we go to wrestling tournaments, and it's, like, between sessions. Like, some of our best memories were, like, going to Old Orchard Mall, between going downtown Chicago, going ice skating at the Northern Open. Like, you know, those are things that he couldn't have. And if they wanted to wrestle, the pressure would have been so high. He could.
Oh, yeah.
He would have wanted to be at all the wrestling meets and, you know, definitely.
No, I knew I was pregnant for a girl for Mackie, and that was the only
one. She was like,
because I had C-sections for all four of the girls. So I always had my dates planned when I was going to deliver and everything. Well, then when I was pregnant for Mackie, I was older. And so they did what they call an amniocentesis, which I don't even know if they do those anymore.
I think very
they have
rarely,
to, they, you know, find out. And you, so then they say, well, do you want to find out whether you're having a girl or boy? And Dan and I decided we weren't going to find out. But the lady called me and she said, do you want to know if you're having a boy or a girl? And I said, yeah. Because I'm not going to go. If I got to know, you know, so she said, well, you're having
it. And you knew it was
girl.
Your last one.
Yes, I knew it was my last one. And when I found out it was a girl, I'm like, there is no way on earth I am telling Dan that we're having our fourth girl, because the rest of the pregnancy is like, he's going to be like, oh, we're having another girl. Good deal, you know. So I kept it. I did not tell anyone.
But this is how out of it he is. She's put up all the stuff in the nursery, like all the pink stuff.
I didn't do it that much,
but the bedding and everything.
I did have my clothes ready for to bring her home, and I didn't pack anything for a little boy. I packed only little girls. So then he was back in the day, the guys didn't go in for the deliveries even, and so I had C-sections for sure he never went into them. But then I decided, and I was always put completely under too, but for Mackie, I said, I just want an epidural. I want to experience what it's like, you know, when your baby's born, you know, so.
And you weren't awake.
He came in with me. He came in and sat at my head, and then when Mackie was born, and then Dr. Lumen's like, oh, it's another girl. And he goes, oh, and I go, I knew it. I knew I was having a girl the whole time. He could not believe it. So I think Dr. Lumen knew that it was going
to
be a girl.
So then I was supposed to be Mac, named after my dad's dad. Mm-hmm. But they named me Mackenzie and called me Mackie. And then I just had my son, and his name's Mac. So he's named after me and his great-grandpa. Yeah. And kind of his grandpa, because my dad's middle name is Mac, too. So
he's got the three generations.
Yeah. Yeah. We did take a picture this spring at the cemetery in Waterloo of my dad, me, Mac, and rest in peace, Grandpa Mac. Mac, at his tombstone. We didn't really plan to do that. We just was there, and we're like, might as well do it. Everyone does this, but...
I love it.
It is interesting, though. I was going to say... we got a little creeper up there. It's Mickey. I don't know why I thought of this, but we were... a couple years ago, I was sitting in the sauna with my dad, and... He was, like, super hot in the sauna, and I remember I, like, wanted to get out of the sauna, and he was, like, putting water on the rocks and, like, telling me, like, no, you gotta stay or whatever, and, like, putting water on me and, like, take it, like, I take, like, a piece of wood and, like, scrape the sweat off, and he goes, come on, you gotta toughen up, and I was, like, expecting him to say, like, toughen up and just toughen up like a boy or something like that, but he goes, like, toughen up and just be a girl and toughen up. And I remember, like, and then he, like, left, and I remember being like, whoa, that's, like, pretty crazy that he, not crazy, but just, like, he, like, adapts really well to, like, everyone, I feel like. And, like, today, like, he just, like, he's working out kids that can't work out because of their high schools being shut down and stuff, and it's just, I feel like he's gonna be a coach until the day he dies.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's been out of coaching since 1997, but it's always been a part of him. Mm-hmm. Just, like, talking to me in a sauna, nonchalantly, telling me to toughen up and be a girl. I'm like, you don't hear that too often, you know? And then, like, he's got these, like, junior high and high school boys that he's trying to inspire, so it's kind of cool.